we got some life in us. It's going to be a good 2023. We got a little life in us. That's a good thing. Y'all don't forget to pray for our pastor. He's off preaching, I think, in Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken. So don't forget to pray for him. And I just want to acknowledge the service we had last Wednesday night with Dalton and Nicholas preaching. I thought that was something. It takes a lot to get up in front of folks and put together a lesson and get through it. And I think they both did a fine job, and I think God's going to use them. So I'd encourage you to keep on going. Tonight we're going to be in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, and we're going to focus most of our time there. So 1 Kings, chapter 19. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So that's a lot of words to say, you killed my prophets, I'm coming for you, and by this time tomorrow, you'll be dead just like they are. Verse 3, "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life." That means he went to another place. He got out of there. "And came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." Verse 4, But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Elijah found himself in a pretty sad place here. He was asking God to let him die. He said, I've done it. I'm give out. I'm at the end. Please, before she takes my life, you just go ahead and take me home. That was his request, his earnest request. But if you look in the chapters prior to this, God had given Elijah a great victory, and God had shown him provision, and he had taken care of Elijah in some extreme circumstances. And here Elijah is in a moment of weakness and a moment of doubt. Elijah, in these previous chapters, he took on King Ahab directly. And even worse, he took on Jezebel directly. He called the drought that was about to hit Israel because God told him to. He said, go tell them. I'm about to remove all the water, the rain from the land. God sent him during that time to the brook Cherith. Y'all know that story. It's a wet weather spring where he was hid away and ravens delivered his meat and bread. And a wet weather spring, I've got one of those at my house. If it's not rained in a while, they're dry. And if, like right now, where it's rained a lot and the ground's saturated, it'll run and it'll flow. Elijah was getting water in a time of a drought from a wet weather spring that shouldn't have had water in it. God proved himself in a significant way, making water run through that spring where it didn't belong. He went on from there to the widow woman and her son, and he enjoyed a barrel of meal and a cruse of oil that wouldn't run out. Y'all remember that story? He stepped up and she said, I'm about to go make a cake for me and my son, and then we'll die because this is it. The barrel's empty. And he said, well, how about give me a little portion of that? And she was obedient, and she did, and then the barrel magically became bottomless and kept them alive. And then that boy fell sick and had no breath, and Elijah, through God's power, brought him back to life. From there, God told Elijah it was time for it to rain again. Elijah was sent to go show God's power straight in front of Ahab. And he went, and y'all remember this, he took on the other prophets of Baal, and he says, y'all call down fire from heaven and burn up your offering, and they couldn't do it with all the cutting and the gnashing and the and the dancing and the praying and chanting that they were doing. And he said, well, I tell you what, bring some water, dig a trench, pour water on it, pour more water on it, wet it down. I want it floating. And then God brought down lightning, or brought down fire, which in my mind is lightning, and lapped up the water and burned up the offering. That's a great show of power. Elijah, after that, he ordered the killing of the prophets of Baal. At this time, he was emboldened, and he had the power and the word of God all over him. This is all before he took this sad day's journey into the wilderness and took his spot under the juniper tree. He found himself in a place ready to quit, tired, used up, scared, alone, and abused. Elijah was in a bad state. I love teaching about Elijah. There's, you know, I love teaching about the brook Cherith, the barrel of a meal that never ended, the burnt offering. But I want to talk tonight about the place where Elijah decided to quit, where he reached his lowest point of despair. Sometimes, you know, we're all sharing this human experience, and sometimes troubles or despair comes from troubles, sickness or loss. Some people are amazing, though. They can find happiness in the middle of their troubles. It's a unique and powerful thing when God can give you an openness to have happiness in the middle of your troubles. You know, Paul said, I think myself happy. A good Christian should be able to be like Paul and think themselves happy. I hope y'all heard the sarcasm in that. That was meant to be sarcastic. You can't always think yourself happy. Now, there'll be times where you can, but you can't always do that. And Elijah wasn't in a place where he could do it. Sometimes we just get to a place where we want to give up. Sometimes also, and not in the middle of troubles, but in the middle of our blessings, we can become miserable. You know, if you look at some of the wealthiest people in the world and sometimes how their lives end up, you think, well, what in the world? They had anything they wanted. They could have cut it off at any time and gone and done anything. And if what they had was too much, then they could have given the part that was too much away and taken, you know, what would keep them happy and go off somewhere. It just shows that happiness doesn't come from things or possessions or position. It comes from our popularity. It comes from peace within. You know, we're all blessed. Most of us, our cabinets are full, our pantries are full, refrigerators are full, bills paid. You know, we get to a place where it's better than it's ever been. Everybody's healthy. You know, there's not anything going on right now. And you can look up and find yourself miserable if you're not careful, in a place of despair. Often it's based on things like anxiety, you know, things that aren't real. They kind of chip away at us. Anybody else have that issue where you imagine situations and the next thing you know, you got this whole thing worked up that you find out wasn't the case at all? And you waste all that time and that anxiety and maybe even a sleepless night here or there and it wasn't even a thing. Why do we do that to ourselves? Sometimes we get to a place where we feel like there's no hope, just like Elijah did. And I was thinking about this. I think the real difference in this total despair that he had is whether you can make yourself happy in good or bad situations. I think the difference, what's missing when you can't think yourself happy, is something called hope. When you get to the place where you feel like there's no more hope, I just don't see the next step, I just don't know where this is headed, I can't imagine this straightening out. That's when you get to that point of despair. Even when things are tough, if you've got hope, if you can feel the hope that it's going to get better, if you can imagine a better situation, you can push through that tough situation. Hope and faith are very close ideas. I'd argue that when we lose hope, what we're really saying is that we're losing faith. Hebrews 11:1 kind of brings hope and faith together. It says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. This verse introduced me to the relationship between hope and faith. And it's a little bit of a mind twister for me, and I've never really been able to fully grasp what that verse says or what it is. But I can work up enough brain cells to see that there's a relationship between hope and faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If I can hope for it, I can have faith that it can be real. It's a new year right now, Brother Mike mentioned, 2023, thank the Lord. The last three have kind of kicked us in the knee. Hopefully this year is going to be coming out of all of that. So a lot of time there's a collective thought during the new year that, you know, it's time for reset, it's time for new challenges, maybe even a time for hope. I have hope in 2023. I hope it's a good situation for everybody. A time of anticipation. But no doubt some of us are in the place just like where Elijah was, you know, human, and having the ability to lose our hope and faith and get it to a place of despair. No matter what we've seen God do, just like whatever Elijah saw in his life, you can get to that place in your life. And I want to encourage those of us here tonight who are tired and scared and discouraged. And I want to look at three aspects of our lives. I've taught a similar message to this several years ago, but this was really working on my mind for tonight, so hopefully it'll help someone. So three areas of our lives: the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. The physical, the mental, and the spiritual. We got to get our body right in times of despair and times of distress. Let's go to, if you don't believe me, let's go to 1 Kings 19:5. Elijah had traveled a day's journey into the wilderness, and he was sitting under the juniper tree. And the first thing he did is he lay and slept under the juniper tree. He needed sleep. Sometimes we run ourselves to a place where we just need some sleep. Then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking in the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat, and he laid him down again. So what God sent him was rest and food and water. Elijah's at the end of himself. No doubt he was famished. He was just in a bad place. God said, take a nap, get you some food, get you some water, and then take another nap. And he looked in the... He said, he laid him down again. In verse 7, it says, "And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God." So, I would say that when we hit bottom and we won't move forward, and if we stay run down, step one is to build ourselves up through rest and nutrition. You know, you hear the old analogy of if you're in an airplane and the oxygen mask drop, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help anybody around you, like a kid or whatever. That's true in life as well. We've got to take care of ourselves, to our physical selves and our mental selves, so that we can handle and take care of those around us. So step one is build our strength through rest and food and you know, healthy activity. Keep moving. Move physically. I'm not talking about being an athlete, but I'm just talking about getting out and moving, being healthy, getting some sunshine. I was in a situation several years ago where we'd signed up for a contract that just... It was just bad. It was just the terms were rough, and we were trying to execute to that contract. And I was in a place that a lot of the execution was my responsibility. Things weren't going well. I felt a lot of pressure to succeed, like all of us probably do. And I worked 70 days in a row in a row without a single break, without a weekend off. And by the time I was at the end of that 70 days, and some of you may have done more than that, but I was a zombie. I had nothing to give. I was starting to get sick, that sort of thing. And that taught me at that time that you just can't do it. You can't do that. You've got to have, in order for you to be good for other people and for you to be good for the purpose that you're there for, you got to have all your stuff. You got to have your brain. You got to have your body. You got to have your rest. So I learned an important lesson at that time. And I know some of y'all probably learned that lesson as well. It's very important, our mental state, to our mental state and our spiritual state, how our physical state is. We have to take care of ourselves. Get your body right and get your mind right. Our minds are very powerful in our mood. Henry Ford says, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. A lot of it is in whether you believe you can do it or not. Ephesians talks to us about the helmet of salvation, the only piece of armor that covers the top, sides, front, and back. The devil and the pressures of this world attack our minds in all directions. That helmet of salvation keeps our mind right. You know, as I said earlier, Paul said, I think myself happy. Sometimes, you know, we need to concentrate on, you know, I've heard people say, if you're really feeling down, just start naming things you're thankful for. Just let gratitude slip into your psyche, past the frustration. Start thanking God for the things that He's done for you, the things He's protected you from, and your mood will start to change. Your situation will start to change mentally. Martin Luther King, that's his holidays coming up Monday. He said, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. To me, that's a message of moving forward. We have to keep moving in our situations. Often, I've been asked, where do you think we should be in 5 years? Where do you think we should be in 10 years? I think the more important question is, who are we going to be in 5 years? Who are we going to be in 10 years? What are we going to be putting into ourselves and carving off of ourselves to shape ourselves into the person that we want to be, that God wants us to be? Elijah couldn't stay under that juniper tree and die no more than we get the option to stop and die. No more than I get the option to stop and die. You know, some people may say, well, I'm too old, or I'm too sick, or I don't have the abilities, I'm hurt, I'm too discouraged. You know, I don't make light of any of those situations. I'm learning as I age that, you know, injuries stay injured longer and energy is not where it used to be. And, you know, I'm not trying to be sad, but that's just the fact. It's, you know, it gets kind of rough. And, you know, you can get down about that. You could have a midlife crisis or whatever and, you know, really get in a big slump. But the fact is, we don't get the opportunity to stop. We've got a purpose. We're built for a purpose. We're designed for a purpose, and we got to keep moving. The thing about keeping moving, if you keep moving, you'll eventually wind up in a different place. That may not mean a lot if you like where you are, but if you're in a situation you're not loving right now, if you're in a situation like Elijah where there's total despair and lack of hope, just keep moving and eventually you'll look up and go, hey, I'm in a different place. I'm in a better place. Change can be good. Change can be okay. You know, babies don't always want to be changed. But they don't need to stay in that situation, do they? And I don't want to just stay in a situation like that. There's a line in one of the Rocky movies. Y'all know the Rocky movies? Anybody? Yeah. Don't watch Rocky V, though. It was an embarrassment. I don't know what they were doing on Rocky V, but so there's a line in one of the Rocky movies that says, life ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can take and keep getting up. Let me try that again without stuttering. Life ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard of a hit you can take and keep getting up. So sometimes if we want to get to a place, we have to walk through punches. We have to take hits and keep moving, and take hits and keep moving. Sometimes that's the case. I don't know about y'all, but life's a bit of a, it's a little bit of a fight, you know, to get from place to place in life, to get to, from where you are to where you're going. Sometimes there's going to be struggles. And sometimes the struggles happen because our current state is too weak to handle where we're going. So there's a strengthening process through the struggles to make it to where we can handle that spot. So get your body right, get your mind right, and let's talk about getting our spirit or our soul right. I found that 100% of any victory I've had in life, no question about it, it's been because of God's favor. I haven't been smart enough to do the things that I've been fortunate to do. I haven't really figured things out, and sometimes I feel like I stumble into it, but God just positions and blesses. And I don't want to lose God's favor, and I don't want to lose the ability for him to bless. But I'll tell you, I can't always see God. I can't always see what He's doing. I can't always pray and make the connection I feel like at that moment I'd like to make. You know, I know He's there because He said He'd never leave me or never forsake me. But I don't always feel it. I don't know about you guys, but you know, you have seasons where it feels like God's talking to you all the time, and then you have seasons where it feels like, not that He's gone, because we know He's not, but you know, He's just letting us do something. You know, it's for His good, but He's letting us figure some things out during that time. I don't always get the clarity when I pray, and I don't always get the next step when I ask. Wouldn't it be great if every time you ask for what's the next step, God answered it? It would be a nice thing. But He doesn't do that. Not always. Matter of fact, most people, probably myself, can count on one hand how many times I've gotten clear direction what the next step is. Sometimes God allows struggle. And that's His business, and it's for His purpose, and it's surely to make us better. But it sure doesn't feel good when it's happening. Elijah, in this situation, he had to go find God also. Elijah had heard God many times, and he heard Him very clear. He heard Him clear enough to walk up to a king and demand things in the king's face and proclaim things in the king's face. You don't do that unless you're sure that you've got a word from God. Elijah wasn't hearing God under this juniper tree. He was not in a place where God was going to talk to him. God was there because He sent an angel to give provision and to get him his strength back. But God wasn't talking to him there. So let's look at down on in 1 Kings 19, verse 11. Verse 11. And he said, "Go forth." What's he saying to Elijah? He's saying, it's time to get up and move. Now is the time to get up and move. "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small, still voice." Verse 13, "And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" See, God speaks. He speaks in many ways. In Elijah's case, it was a still, small voice that he heard. If we're in a place where we feel like we want to quit and we're screaming for God to move, sometimes it's time for us to move. You know, if Elijah had gone and hidden anywhere but the brook Cherith, he wouldn't have gotten the provision of God. Because God was sending the ravens with bread and meat to the brook Cherith. That was the delivery point. So it required obedience to get that provision. If Elijah had gone to town instead of going to the old lady's house, the widow woman's house, he wouldn't have gotten the endless barrel of meal. And if he'd have stayed under the juniper tree, he'd have never heard this still small voice. Sometimes it's time to follow the Lord, and it's time to keep moving, and it's time for change. The voice may be in a different spot or a slightly different spot, and God's waiting for us to move out of our current situation to go hear it. So I don't have all the answers, but I have a little bit, lived just a little bit, and I would suggest to you that if you get your body right and your health right, eat, sleep, move, and get sunshine, you'll be in a better situation. If you get your mind right, fix our mind on resilience and perseverance, moving forward, even if we're taking punches. You know, don't cover up in the fetal position, because that's where you'll be. You have to walk through the punches. Get our spirit right. Let God be God and trust. It's in the faith and it's in the hope. He may be in the wind. He may be in the earthquake. He may be in the fire, or he may be in the still small voice. That's up to him. But trust that he is there. Thank you for your attention.